Welcome to What I Listen To This Week. We're back with another episode with a full panel, which we're really excited about. And we have some new fresh blood, which we're excited about. So it's Matt.
It's Halloween.
It's getting to be Halloween. Ooh, if we can squeeze in one more episode before Halloween, that'd be great. So we can do a Halloween themed episode. And just throwing it out there. Anyway, hi, I'm Melanie. Here with Sergio, Eric, and our newbie, Allison. So Allison, why don't you just introduce yourself? Who are you? Why are you here?
Well, I'm Allison. I'm here because my blood is very fresh, and I heard there was a need for that in this setting. Yes. I don't know. I guess I listen to a lot of music, but that may not set me apart from anybody because I think a lot of people listen to a lot of music. I don't know. I like it. I played music as a kid, although I played like classical music. I played the bassoon. Like, think about the weird kid from Fleabag who plays the bassoon. Like,
I that
was
that
me.
You played the bassoon.
But also, I was really good at it. Like, not to toot my own horn, but.
Did you play.
Toot your own bassoon.
Did you pick the bassoon, or was the bassoon chosen for you?
Okay, so this was actually really good manipulation and proof that, like, my middle school band teacher just knew me really well. But I played the clarinet because my dad played the clarinet, so I had, like, his old clarinet that I played. And I think he just told me, like, Allie, because people called me back then, he was like, you'd be good at the bassoon. Like, I think you'd be good at that. And because I'm just, like, a sucker for compliments, I was like, you think I'd be good at it? I guess I'll do it! I did really like it. It was fun. It was just, it's a really, like, weird-sounding instrument. There aren't very many bassoonists. And actually, I didn't know this at the time when I chose it. Like, my personality type, this is, like, quintessential bassoon. I don't think the viewers might not know this because they don't know me, but, like, bassoonists are often, they're either, like, 10% of bassoonists are really, really quiet, like, a little weird, but, you know, they're nice people, very introverted. And then, like, the other 90% are very, like, la, la, like, they're just kind of, like, weird. Also, just, like, really jolly people. Like, they're, I don't know, they're fun to hang out with. If you, like, ever, if you're ever, like, You have a choice to hang out with any woodwind you want. Like, pick the bassoons. They're the fun, weird ones.
Do you also think you were selected maybe because you were you taller as like a middle schooler as well?
I can't remember. I don't know. My family is tall. I'm not as tall as my family. And so until I was like 20 years old, I thought I was short. And then people kept on noticing. People were like, can you get stuff off of shelves? And I was like, wait a second. Am I above average height?
All the bassoonists that I've ever known, which is, I mean, it's not like a wide swath of humans, but it's like, you know, it's the handful that I've known, they've all been on the taller side.
Have I?
The instrument's a little bit
bigger. Did
I know
any short bassoon players? Yeah, maybe it was my height. I have no idea. Again, I think he maybe just knew that I could be manipulated and he wanted a bassoon player in the band. So he was like, let me butter up this lunatic sixth grader. See if she can do something for me.
Love it. And you could get that little like double reed merit badge for being awesome.
Hell yeah. At one point I knew how to make double reeds too, but I never got very good at it.
I remember there was an oboe player in college that I worked at a radio station with, and that's what she would do. Like, while she had a long song playing, she would just sit there and like make her reeds.
Yep. It's a whole thing.
It's next level.
Anyway, those are my credentials. So
you're
welcome.
You're the first bassoon player on this podcast.
That's fantastic. That's great. I'm so glad.
I love it. All right, so we're gonna dive into our icebreaker for this week, which was supplied by Sergio, so he gets to go first. So the icebreaker is, what was your like backup song that you didn't bring today? So for those who have never listened to this podcast, we each are gonna bring a song that we'll bring to the table. We'll all listen to it and then we'll react to it. And what was the song that you decided not to bring today that was like maybe your number two choice, and why did you decide not to bring it? So Sergio, you're first.
The song I was going to bring, but I didn't, was called Techno Train by Electric Callboy. I found this band because I was looking for, I wanted to listen to and watch the music video to Every Time We Touch. And this other this group came up, and I was like, what the hell is this? And it's basically electro pop with screamo. And it was a very interesting genre blending. But I was like, I didn't know people would like it, or they might hate it. I don't know. So I didn't bring it. But it's still kind of interesting. And that's the song.
So you might bring it at some point in the future, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
If you're vibing on it. Okay.
If I'm vibing on it.
All right, cool. All right, Eric.
I was going to bring a later version of the same song that I'm going to do, which I'm not going to tell you until you, till we get to it. Uh-huh. But, and there are a lot of versions of it, of this song, and most of them really suck. But there's a later version by a woman singer who I really like, Cassandra Wilson, and I think she won a Grammy for it. Mm. But I thought, well, maybe we'll just do the original because it's like way original. And you'll see what it is.
Cool. All right. Interesting. I like starting with the original. I feel like, I mean, covers are cool, but I think starting from the baseline is good, especially if it's maybe something that we don't know collectively.
You won't know it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So I was going to bring, I hadn't really decided on a song, but I was going to bring something by the band AJJ. I saw them, a month or more ago when I went to a show at the Stanley Hotel and they were the opener. I had never heard of them before. They were totally new to me, but they put on a great show. They were, had a lot of really good energy. The lyrics of their songs were like funny, poignant, political, like just really interesting. But you know, I didn't know, I didn't think maybe it would go over with the group as well. I also feel like that's one of those bands where their recorded music is good. And I think if you like a certain genre, but in my opinion, I feel like they were almost better live. I think they were maybe a better live performance. And I don't know if there's any live stuff by them out there, which I'd have to kind of dig into. I do recommend giving them a listen. I think they're pretty interesting. They remind me of like early era Mountain Goats, a little bit more abrasive maybe, and percussive, but that's sort of the vibe that I was getting when I was seeing them live. Kind of reminded me when I saw Mountain Goats like in 2006. But yeah. All right, Allison.
What was I going to do? I think I was going to bring something from Caroline Rose's most recent new album, which is called The Art of Forgetting. I didn't bring it because that album is so sad. Now, like, this happened with her and other artists, too, where I was like, oh, I want to bring Julia Jacklin, or I want to bring Big Thief, or this new Caroline Rose album. And they're just such sad. I don't know. I think some of just my favorite artists sing a lot of sad songs, and I was like, this could be a bummer. I might not want to do it for, like, my first introduction to the world. So maybe in the future I might bring it, But yeah, this particular Caroline Rose album, everyone should check out The Art of Forgetting. It's pretty stunning. It is a breakup album, and like her previous albums were awesome, but they were just a little bit lighter. There was just such a levity to them, and they were like very fun, and I started listening to this one. I think actually I was like, I had like a playlist of KEXP videos I was watching, and her most recent one popped up, and suddenly she was like crying while singing. I was like, holy hell. Am I allowed to say hell? Sorry. Oh my goodness. Like, why is Caroline Rose really distraught? Like, I'm not used to this energy from them. And then I listened to the album, and I was like, my God. Anyway, that's why I didn't bring it. We'll do it in the future when we really want to get sad. Maybe in February. If I last that long.
I don't know. I feel like I'm going to need all the upbeat music I can get in February. That's a rough time.
Yeah. It's a garbage time. Garbage month.
Anti-Valentine's Day.
That's right.
Yeah.
Plug.
Plug for the future anti-Valentine's Day.
Get another pinata.
Get together.
That's right.
When you say KXP, are you talking about the radio station in Seattle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like live recording.
Their fundraising stuff. Drive is happening right now.
Actually. I should give them money because they're fantastic.
Yeah, they're so good.
I also just love Cheryl Waters. I just wish that she could be my friend. And this sounds like it's going to be a slam on my aunts. My aunts are awesome, but I wish that Cheryl Waters could be like another aunt to me. So I could be like, how are, and talk to her at Thanksgiving. Yeah. And I don't know. She's just so like intuitive and anyway.
Yeah. My sister lives like kitty corner from their studios.
Oh my gosh.
So every time I visit her, we walk by and they have like a ticker sign across the building that like says what's on air right now, which is always kind of cool.
Cool. That's awesome.
But yeah, that she actually texted me yesterday because she was listening and she was like, somebody from Longmont just donated to the fundraising drive. And I was
gosh.
Oh man. Wow.
Sweet.
They got a lot of support from Longmont, I guess.
Sweet.
Anyway, sorry. All right, so we're going to get into the music. Allison, since you're new, I'll just go over sort of our one rule really quick, is that you are more than welcome to dislike a song. You can tell us that you really didn't like it, weren't into it, but you have to say why. Okay. You can't just say, I hate it, and then that's it.
You can't just, like, dump on your taste and walk away.
Exactly.
You have understandable. To give
reasons. Because bad things will happen if you do.
Ooh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. This is fun. Okay, no, I can give reasons. I can talk.
Yeah. Okay. So that's our one rule.
All right. With that said, the first song of the evening is Death Letter Blues by Sun House. Is there anything you want to say about it?
Sun House is one of the original Delta Blues singers, and I'll say more when the song's done.
All right.
Girl, your love is dead. I got a letter this morning. How do you ring it red? You know, sir, hurry, hurry. I call a girl, your love is dead. Oh, I grabbed up my suitcase, took out down the road. When I got there, she's laying on a cooling board. I grabbed up my suitcase. I said, I took her down the road. I said, but when I got there, she was laying on a cooling board. Well, I walked her right close, looked down in her face. Said, good old gal, got a day here to change my day. I walked her right close, I said, I looked down in her face. Said the good old girl, gonna lay in a judgment day. The back of those 10,000 people standing round the burial ground. I didn't know I loved her. Tell her, let her down. Looked like 10,000 was standing round the burial ground. You know, I didn't love her until I began to let her down. Well, I fooled up, Mom. I slowly walked away. I say, farewell, honey. I'll see you judgment day. Yeah. Oh, yes, I walked away. I say, farewell, farewell. I'll see you judgment day. You know, I didn't feel so bad till the good old sun went down. I didn't have a soul to throw my arms around. I didn't feel so bad until the good old sun went down. You know it's so hard to love someone don't love you. Ain't satisfaction, don't care what you do. Yeah, it's so hard to love someone don't love you. You don't look like it ain't satisfaction. Don't care what you do. Well, I got up this morning to break a day, just hugging the pillows she used to lay. I said, soon this morning. Yes, it's a break of the day. You know I'd hug in the pillow. Oh, how my good gal used to live. I got up this morning feeling round for my shoe. You know I must have the walking blues. Soon this morning I'm feeling round for my shoe. Yeah, I know about that. I must have the walking blues. Oh, hush! Thought I heard her call my name. It wasn't so loud, so nice and plain. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So talk.
Okay. So that was, yeah, Death Letter Blues by Son House.
So Son House was born in 1902. He was one of the sort of original Delta blues singers who became famous with Charlie Patton and Robert Johnson. And then that style of blues went away, and then he got rediscovered in the folk revival in the 60s, and he recorded this version of this song. And there are, like, as I said before, there are a lot of versions of this song, and most of them really suck. But I like this version because it's genuine. I mean, you just can't get any more genuine than Son House singing Son House. And you can sort of hear where sort of later styles adopted this style that he originated. So I like him. I've been listening to a lot of old blues like this lately, along with Pat Metheny and a lot of salsa, which is, I know, a weird combination. But anyway, I just like this song. And by looking for this song, I discovered a band called Death Letter, which has really interesting music. So I think I'm going to listen to some more Death Letter.
All right. I always really love and appreciate sort of these old blues recordings because they sound like the way the recording is done, the way they're playing their instrument, the way they're singing is like really, it sounds painful, which like that's the blues. And I think, later, styles of music that sort of adopted that style and those chord progressions and stuff can like polish it up, and it's still technically blues, right? But it like doesn't really feel like it if it doesn't feel like it's somebody who's like in anguish or like in pain when they're actually like singing and playing an instrument. So it just sounds so real, which I really love. I think I'm glad you brought like the original version of it and not like a cover, because I think it's nice to have like that context before like hearing a cover of something like that.
Yeah, I love this song. Several years ago, I really got into, just got bored of the blues, and I went on a Son House like deep dive music bender, and it was awesome. And I love the way that the lyrics progress in this song too, that it goes from like someone's died to like, oh, it's so painful when someone doesn't love you anymore. Like they're kind of, there's like a spectrum of blues. And there's like the, oh, I can't find my shoes. I've got the walking blues. I love that. I feel like I'm going to get out of bed tomorrow and not want to work. And I'll be like, I've got the walking blues.
Working blues.
Working blues, yeah. Also, too, on like the topic of covers, I don't know, just like, I feel like there are some songs you can't cover and like don't even try. Like, I think Jack White covered Death Letter Blues. And like, yes. Jesus, just please don't. Yeah. I really like Jack White. I like the White Stripes. I listen to them. But sometimes Jack White just feels really like overwrought and trying too hard. And his cover of this, I just like hate. I want to kick him in the face. Well, not maybe not in the face, but like in the shins for covering Death Letter.
It's really self-indulgent.
Anyway, don't mess with Son House. Just go home and just accept that you're inferior. That's all I have to say.
Last time I heard blues was in Chicago for the Chicago Blues Festival.
Oh, cool!
In Park. Oh, wow. I normally don't listen to blues, but I really enjoyed listening to the blues music there, and hearing kind of where it all kind of originated was, yeah, I really enjoyed this. I like the word you use, like painful, and it was like there was like a raw, like emotional component there that I think I got more out of it in this song than other blues songs I've heard. And I enjoyed that.
Cool. I really liked the part where, I forget what the exact lyric is, but it's just like blues can be like, I mean, it's the same like chord progression over and over again. So it can feel really repetitive, but like there was the part sort of in the latter half of the song where I feel like he says something like, hold on, be quiet. I thought I heard her say my name or something like that, but it's like almost like a little bit of, like the rhythm doesn't stop. Like I think in a modern version, somebody would like make some dramatic like pause in that point. But I kind of liked that because I feel like it is so rhythmic and repetitive, and but like just that like little bit right there kind of like catches you if you're kind of like gone into like a little bit of a trance. It's like, oh wait a minute. And I just thought that was kind of an interesting little bit. Cool. Thanks, Eric. Right.
Thanks, Eric. The next song is the song I brought. I actually did a Halloween song.
Ooh, oh, nice. Awesome.
Because I didn't know if we were going to do.
Yeah, we may not. It was smart to bring one.
So this song is called Dance Macabre. I don't know how to pronounce that. Macabre by Ghost. So that was Dance Macabre, I don't know, however you want to say it, by Ghost. I fucking love this song and group. Everything about it, I think, is one of my favorite songs of all time. I only heard about it earlier this year, so I've been listening to it for a while. I love – so it actually came out in 2018, but I love the whole, like, 80s, like, club pop metal vibe. The lyrics are awesome. It actually doesn't say be with you. It's actually bewitch you, which is, I thought, kind of clever. Anyway, yeah, I just want to see what people think.
This filled me with a lot of thoughts about the nature of like a Halloween song and how it's, for me at least, it's impossible for me to hear any like pop music that's vaguely Halloweenish without thinking of Thriller. Mm. It just sets an unfair high bar for any song, for one thing. But I was also thinking about, again, just from my experience, Halloween songs tend to have this visual component to them, like the iconic music video for Thriller. Or I always think about the band White Lies, which actually has a sound similar to this. I've learned of them because one of their songs is used in the like spooky noir film A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. And so like, and that movie is very like black and white, very stylish and just kind of creepy and awesome, worth watching. So, like, there's that visual dimension when I listen to them. I just feel like if I don't have, like, a music video or, like, a movie to, like, think of when I hear, like, a Halloweenish song, I'm like, oh, something's missing. Even though, like, well, it's just a song. Like, songs are songs. Like, nothing's really missing, per se. And also, I bet there is a music video, which I haven't seen it.
Yeah, you should watch it.
Yeah,
it's,
okay, cool.
It's like Eyes Wide Shut.
Ooh. Titan. Okay, yeah. I'll take that. Yeah. I'll take that. So, anyway, interesting thoughts. Also, back to the whole bassoon topic. One time I played like a dance macabre piece that was part of the Hector Berlioz Symphony Fantastique. It's a fun piece of music if you want to listen to that too. That's all I got. I'm done with the bassoon.
No, you're not. No.
It'll never! Come back. I brought it today.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, 80s, man, 80s hairband all the way. I just kept thinking like... I wanted to see what they look like because I'm imagining... So much hair, like skin tight leather pants, no shirt, and then like a flying V guitar is what I'm picturing in my head. But it's just, it's interesting, sort of kind of like what you were saying about like the visual is like when you said, oh, I brought like a Halloween song and then it started playing, I was like, this doesn't feel like a Halloween song. But then to your point, like where they say Bewitch You, and then like it, I guess it sort of is like, not, it's like breaking away from like the stereotype of like a Halloween song has to sound creepy and spooky, which isn't necessarily the case. But yeah, just so much fun. The synth like solo in the bridge is so good. I love it. It's so much fun. I think, yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like, I think you, I don't know. Sometimes you listen to music like this and I think you can get kind of like snooty and pretentious and be like, whatever, it's not, it's derivative of whatever. But it's like, sometimes you just listen to it and you're just like, this is like a fun song. This song is great. Like the energy is just really good. And yeah, so I mean, I was ready to rock out to it. I wanted to kind of headbang a little bit, I'm not going to lie. But yeah.
I'll pass photos of what they actually look like. It's probably right. Not at all what you expect.
Yeah, no, this is not.
But it's actually like not an 80s boys. Band. So they they were formed in 2006.
Yeah, or that's 2008. Interesting. That's what they look like.
They're like, yeah.
Oh, they're Swedish.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's interesting because I kind of was getting Eurovision vibes a little bit. Like, I don't know why, something about it. Maybe it was like all a synth or something. But, like, I was like, oh, I kind of get, like, Guitar Hero and Eurovision, like, mixed together. Was like sort funny. Of the vibe I was
it
getting.
It has, like, a familiar sound to it.
Yeah.
It has a very familiar sound.
Yeah, it really does.
It was like, it's like got an MTV sound. Whoa. Okay. But I thought, man, this would be great to listen to in your car.
For sure.
Yeah. Windows open and really loud.
I was thinking about driving home and being like, I'm going to crank this.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Or like, you're at a really good Halloween party. We're going to blast this.
And I love the Bewitch You.
Yeah. Yes. That was, it's really great.
Yeah. Cause that cracked me up every time I heard it.
Yeah. The first time I heard it, I was like, why are they saying it? Like, Witch You? Why would you? And then, like, the second, I was like, oh, I get it. Because at first I was, like, irritated by it because I thought they were, like, it was almost like they were hyper-articulating, like, everything up until that point. And then they were saying, witch you. And I was like, why would you, like, but, yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
All came together.
Cool.
Cool.
Good energy, Sergio.
Trying to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have pumped this song out of my car when I'm driving very loudly in Longmont.
So but, great.
So I really encourage it. That's really cool.
Does anybody else, sorry, this is speaking of blasting music when you're driving, has anybody else, witnessed the individual who just does laps around Main Street blasting "And I Will Always Love You" by Whitney Houston.
No.
I think that's what they
blast. Hashtag hero. Can we get them on the show?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's what it is, but I had like heard rumblings. So the kind of the cool thing about it is that I had heard rumblings about this individual, just like people talking about them. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like they had heard it or something. And then I was at Long's Peak Pub sitting outside one day, and sure enough, the pickup truck like rolls by just like, so like you could hear everything. It was so loud. And I was like, I finally saw them. And like, I felt like I was seeing a celebrity,
that's so
but
cool.
I didn't see the individual. I just saw the truck and heard the music, but anyway.
Longmont local treasure.
Yeah. <That's> fun awesome. Little thing. Sorry.
You must be deeply traumatized so if they're doing that.
Like over and over and over again. Yeah. It's like,
wonder, is that their favorite song, or are they like kind of like, I'm doing Longmont a favor. Like once a week, I'm going to go out and I'm going to crank this song just so they can get like back to values.
I don't know. It's really interesting. If you're out there and you hear this,
please, let us know.
Good job.
Let us know. Take a video. All right. The next song is called Say It by Sasami.
Sasami. You did it. You said it.
Do you want to give or talk
I'll talk about it after. I'll talk about it after. I'll just kind of let you go in off the deep end with this song.
So Say It by Sasami. Day lost.
All right, so Sasami, this particular album is kind of a departure for her. It's different from the one that came before it. It's a lot heavier and, like, kind of grungier. And there's a New York Times profile on her that was published closer to when this came out a couple years ago. But basically, the origins of this album, when she was working on it, she was like, I want to steal something from white men. Like, how can I do cultural appropriation with, like, white man culture? Yes. And her answer was like, oh, heavy metal. Like, I'm going to steal heavy metal and, like, do my own thing with it. So this album has, like, some very metal influences to it. Also, this isn't quite metal, but there's another song on this album that really, like... can kind of feel the influence of butt rock in it. It just kind of feels like a cooler, like, version of a Creed song or, like, a Nickelback song, which is cool. And even, like, at the end of this song, I could kind of hear, like, Linkin Park a little bit. And I was like, kind of like that. So that's part of why I find the album interesting. And also, I like it. I think when I first heard this album, again, this was a couple of years ago, I really had not, I don't know, just wasn't, like, a heavy metal, rap metal type of person at all. But hearing this, I was like, oh, I actually kind of like this genre now. I feel like it was a little bit of a gateway drug into more metal, which I have, like, since gotten into. And also it was really fun because when I got introduced to Sasami in 2019 when she was touring the album before this one, which again is just, like, more of a softness to it. And also, fun fact, she has a degree, or at least she went to school for, like, French horn performance. So she has, like, a classical background. Anyway, my friend was coming into town, and he was like, I've got tickets to this artist, Sasami. And I was like, I don't know who that is, but for, like, $20, I'll go see anybody. And I listened to the album a lot beforehand, and again, just, like, a lot softer. There's, like, a gentler side to it. And then when I saw her in person, she was, like, screaming those songs. And I was like, whoa, this is not what I expected to hear. But, like, I also like the idea that she kind of had this, like, metal undercurrent in her all along. And then she was like, yeah, I'm letting it out. Like, now I'm really going to go nuts with it. So I recommend Sasami. I recommend this album. Recommend all her albums. So here we are.
It's so interesting that you said that, like, she's taking influence from metal and, like, and that you said there's, like, a butt rock song on the album because I'm like, at the end, my thought went to Korn, actually. Like, oh my God, this reminds me of, like, the beginning or the end of a Korn song. But also, so, like, when it first started, I was like, Depeche Mode and, like, New Order was, like, where my head went. I don't know, because we're all, like, in an 80s headspace today.
Could be,
for some reason. That's, like, where my head, like, initially went. But then, like, as it went on, I was like, this is feeling more metal. And then as soon as she started singing, I thought of Evanescence.
Definitely.
Like, metally, butt rocky kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting because I was definitely getting all those vibes. She has, so is the, like, distortion voice in it also her, but it's just, like, on a filter?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
That's part of why I chose this particular song from the album. So you kind of get both. Like, you get, like, the, again, like, heavier vocal elements, and you get, like, I don't know what seems more like what I want, but, like, her, not her normal voice, her natural. I just think it just sounds like a regular voice, and there's a little bit of, like, a shock to it to, like, hear like the grungier Evanescence type stuff, and then be like, oh, there's, like, this softer voice in here. Also, for someone who played the bassoon, I don't have a very good music vocabulary. I feel like I'm not good at, like, describing it very well.
Knew it was gonna come back.
But I know, yeah. I don't have the expertise that I might have led you to think when it comes to, like, articulating musical realities and sounds, but I just feel like that there's a big difference between how her voice sounds than, like, the other elements of the song.
I like the contrast. I mean, it is very Evanescence-y, but, like, but not, I mean, not in the same way, but it's like, I like that contrast between just, like, you know, you've got, like, this sort of, like, very hard and harsh sound, and then, like, she comes in, she's got this, like, ethereal sort of, like, very light sound to her voice, and that contrast is so interesting. I think, and you haven't been on previous episodes, but I often bring up the fact that I was a very angsty child, and listened to a lot of, like, angsty, like, Korn and things like that. And, like, there's this little bit of me that, like, still sometimes, like, feels that and is like, then I desperately, it's all I want to listen to is something that I can be like, you listen, like, I'm so angry about, I don't even know what. And I think that, like, this kind of music, like, somehow feeds that.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I have, like, really nothing to be, I mean, I have some things to be angry about, but it's, like, you know, in the grand scheme of things.
That's not a little part of me. That's, like, a big part of me that still exists. My, like, inner teen is still in there, like, mostly fully formed, being like, ah, I don't know, stupid.
I've been trying to, like, push it down so much. And I don't know, maybe now that I'm getting old and letting loose, maybe it's going to
free
it's
it,
gonna bubble.
Liberate it.
This song reminded me of the song I brought a while back called I Put Something in Your Drink.
Yes. Yeah.
Because it was very grungy. But it was interesting they used the word metal because it's not what I would have thought to describe this.
I kind of feel like this song isn't quite as metal. There are other songs on the album that feel maybe a little bit more of it or just have like a heavier like, I guess that's what
grungier.
I think with metal. Yeah, yeah.
It seemed to me like more like synthwave.
Okay.
Because I was actually kind of I was listening to synthwave the other night because I was like coding and I was like, I need music like this to code to. But this also reminds like this would work really well in like John Wick movies.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Because they have like a sort of like progression to it that mm-hmm. just like makes you want to keep going or moving or like whatever.
Yeah. Anyway. Cool.
I liked it. This was really fun. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the name of the album?
Oh, God. This album is called Squeeze. Okay. I think. Yes. I feel like you'll know it from the other albums because it's got a picture of her as like, it's like a picture of like a scuttling snake scorpion with a woman's head on it. So like, and the other ones are like a woman jumping, like, well, or like, you know, it's. Not to diss the other album covers. Those are cool, too. But this is very like, oh, this is the metal album. I see that.
I wasn't thinking of it as metal. I was thinking of it as industrial.
Sure, yeah, oh, yeah, definitely.
That's a good, yeah. That's
because
good
it sounded like it. She made this in a factory while all the machines are going. And it reminded me of an obscure group that I used to listen to. And I can't even remember their name. But they do songs like Crushed by the Wheels of Industry.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And this, I love the contrast with her voice and that industrial kind of background. And it didn't sound like metal to me. It wasn't headbanging.
Yeah, I guess. I think there's some variation between songs. I also think that maybe I'm not the best describer of music. But anyway, yeah, but I hear that industrial. It made me think of, there's like a Bjork music video where she's like in like a car factory-ish. Mm-hmm. It made me think of that. Mm. I feel like I'm just butchering a lot of things here. The masses are going to rise up against me. But anyway, yeah.
That's cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Next song is called How Much Do You Love Me by Wolfman. And
I knew you were going to pronounce
Jacob
that right.
Jeffries.
yeah, I'll save my commentary for after.
You wrote me a poem, but I'm still not sure. You cooked me a dinner, salmon and soup du jour. But there's still one thing that'll settle this in my fragile, agitated mind. You put the pen to the paper, emotional labor, a stone cold hit with my name. Emotional labor. I need a stone cold head with my name. How much do you love me, baby? Tell me.
Cecilia, Costello Allison, Lenny wrote to Julia, and she's not the only one. Clapton sang to Layla, Stewart to Maggie May. You better put me in your pantheon if you want me to stay.
Yeah, so I actually found that song because I first heard the remix of it, which I highly recommend. It's a good dance jam. But I had heard that first, and then I was like, oh, well, I should listen to the original. I love the song for a few. So Wolfman is a spinoff of Wolfpack, which the funk band. So it's... I think it's Jack. I can't remember which one it is, but I think it's Jack from Wolfpack. So he's the one on the on the keys. And so it's his like alter ego side project, whatever you want to call it, spinoff. And then Jacob Jeffries is, I'm pretty sure he actually got his start doing songs for kids movies, which you can kind of hear it a little bit in the like once you know that and then you listen to it, you're like, oh yeah, like I think he wrote songs for like, I don't know, any kids movie, like Teen Titans 3 or something like that.
It does have like a kids bop feel to it a little bit. I mean that in the most loving way,
right? Like yeah, exactly. But it's interesting because it's like I listened to it and then once I knew that, it's like, oh, now I could like hear that voice as like potentially being in it, like a kid's movie. I love like just the groove on the song is so good. And it's like hard not to like bop to, kids bop, but it's hard not to like move around to the dance version. It's like you can't not move, like it's impossible. But even just in this one, and it's so simple, like that's the other thing that I love about it. It is literally just like two people just doing their thing and jamming. And I love the simplicity of it, but it's just got so much like volume to it. And then the lyrics are just, they're funny. I just love the idea of somebody being like, listen, this is how I know you love me. You got to write me a song and it's got to have my name in it and it's got to be a hit. I love that. It's like, yeah, you cooked me dinner, like whatever. You can clean my house, like whatever. But you wrote me a jam, it hit the top 40 and it's got my name in it. I just love that. So anyway,
that's why I brought it. It's really yacht rock. It really is. It really sounds
yacht
like
rock.
That's my yacht genre, rock. Man. I love yacht rock.
Yacht rock is like Steely Dan, Doobie Brothers.
Okay. It's Valerie by Stevie Winwood.
Stevie Winwood. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Because it sounded just like Michael McDonald era.
Yep.
Doobie Brothers.
Yeah.
And that was when I heard that. I was like, "Oh, okay, this is gonna be great." It's a great song.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
I also recommend looking up the video because there's a video of like the two of them jamming on this song and it's just fun to watch. Like they're both just having such a, I mean, you can hear it in the song. They're having a good time, but it's fun to like watch that.
Yeah. Those keys are really fun. Just that instrument, that sound is great.
Yeah. I'm glad that I was actually going to ask if they were part of Wolfpack or whatever, because I love Wolfpack. So yeah, I'll have to check. Wolfman.
Wolfman.
That's a fun word to say. That was a really enjoyable song.
Yeah. Glad you liked it. Yeah. I think I don't know a lot of Wolfman. I listened to a few songs today because after I like found the original version of this one. I listened to a few ones and there's a lot of good stuff. But I'm not super well versed in his like spinoff.
So is he still part of Wolfpack or not?
I think so. So I think it's the member of Wolfpack who's also like the person who, cause they have a label too, I think. Wolf, I think is the label.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think he like also oversees that. So, I don't think he's like not part of it. I think it's just like his own thing. You can collaborate with other people.
I love those spinoffs though. Or not, I shouldn't say spinoff, but like when I'm a member of a group, sometimes it's like a permanent, you know, breaking apart. Sometimes it's like, no, I just want to get like even weirder on my own time. And that's,
yeah,
it's always promising.
I want to get weird with other people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's nothing against the people I'm already hanging out with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes you want to get weird with different people. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. That's it.
Cool.
All right. Well, awesome. Thanks so much for, yeah, good music selections today, guys. This is what I needed, I think. But thanks to everybody for tuning in. Thanks to our new fans.
Our fans in Texas.
Yeah. Oh. Thanks to our fans in Texas.
Oh, we've got fans in Texas. Yeah. I say yeah, we. I'm
sure you're part of it now.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So thanks for tuning in. Don't forget, if you've got suggestions for stuff you want us to listen to, leave it in the comments. Or if you want to call us out for talking out of our butts, call us out and put it in the comments. If you've got a recommendation for what Allison should play on her bassoon next episode,
that's right.
put it in the comments. but yeah, thanks for tuning in. See you later. See you next time.